Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the, actually, I guess, schoolmates, classmates, roommates, whatever, would say, what'd it be like?
I've never had any classmates say that.
I love what'd it be like, Freaky Deaky. Remember? You guys are too young to remember that.
No, but I know that's like one of your favorite quote, movie quotes of all time.
What'd it be like, Freaky Deaky? It's like, what? I love that stuff. There's no question about it. In any case, I got back from my walk. I did 5.5 miles this morning. And I never thought that I could tell you that walking 8 miles a day is not very hard. I'd love to take, you know, I slog through it every day and it's very tough. I'd love to be able to tell you that, but it's bullshit. I love walking. Matter of fact, walking is a great calming for me. It has a great calming effect. That's wonderful. No doubt about it. And then I get home and I have like a fifth. And then, that's not true.
And then you go back out for a stumble.
Yeah. I go back out. What are you looking at? Yes, that kind of deal. No question. But, you know, I'm still trying to slog through what's going on in the world with the Ukraine situation and an Israel situation and Iran and Gaza. And you sit and you think about that stuff. I've been doing a lot of reading lately and all the rest of it. And I do have a question for you guys. And so Tevin, how old are you exactly?
32.
And AJ, you're what?
27.
Oh, I thought you were only 24 and 30 and 24, so I was off by 2-3 years both times. That's all right. 32 and 27. Okay, so you're both in the same generation then, right?
I think so.
Or is there a dividing line?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe border.
I guess I'm, depending on what website you go to, I'm either super late millennial or super early Gen Z.
Yeah. I could see that. I was just watching some stuff. And again, I'm making observations, and what I'm trying to figure out and what everybody's trying to figure out that I've talked to is why people are so hideously horrible and vicious right now. And it's not just in America. It's all around the world. There's two wars going on at the same time. And if you think that's not a war over there in Israel, Gaza, and Iran, it's a war. You don't launch 100 missiles at somebody or whatever the hell those things are. They're not missiles, are they? Are they missiles?
I know that I saw a video yesterday in the middle of the night of a big truck launching just missile after missile after missile. Yeah. So, I think it's safe to say it's war at this point.
So what I'm doing, I'm sitting around thinking, what happened recently, and by recently I mean in the last 50 years or so, that changed the world to a world? And it's always been underlying and all the rest of it, but you want to talk about outright hatred of people. I've never seen things like this before. There was just a big meeting a couple of days ago. I don't know, it was out east some damn place or Michigan, whatever it was. This guy was passing out all this stuff, and all of a sudden he launches into death to America. It's like, what? What did I ever do to you, bitch? That's what I'd like to know. I'm an American. What did I ever do to you that I deserve to die? Explain that to me.
Maybe he heard the show. You never know.
Yeah, he probably used to be a listener and hates it. Right. That might be it.
He said, you trashed the twins. I've had enough.
Yeah, the Tom Bernard Morning Show, the twins. I'm not going to go on because he'll get all offended, but you know, we'll see how it goes. I just missed Caitlin Clark, where she's going to college. It was just coming up on television when we hopped on here. So she's going where?
Indiana.
She got drafted to the Indiana Fever.
Indiana Fever?
Yes, not the STD.
Why would you want to have a team called the Fever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just all new sports leagues and teams. They've come up with names that we feel like are unusual just because maybe they haven't been around for a while.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Love to see what they...
the three of us will start a team and we'll call it the Minnesota Serious Addiction. What do you think?
I like it.
Okay.
Because you get addicted to the team, but they're all drug addicts, so you know. What do you think?
It's a rehabilitation project.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly. We'll get sponsored by Hazelden. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Hazelden, MN, Teen Challenge.
Yep. You know,
all those.
No question. Okay, so I have a question for you. So I'm watching the news this morning, and everybody hates everybody, and everything is horrible. And my question is this, and it comes from both sides, but it leans heavily toward one side when I bring up the first part. I don't understand, because the word devil came up at least 8 to 10 times on the news last night, spread across the news, not just one day. The word devil, these people are devils, he's the devil, oh my God, they're the devil. So I have a question. You don't want anybody to believe in God, but you want to believe there is a devil? That's a little odd, don't you think?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to have one without the other.
I would say so, yes. Good and evil, God and evil, get it?
Yep.
But it just struck me. This man is the devil. He's so evil, it's unbelievable, and oh my God. How did we get to the point where there is no God, but there is a devil? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot like when every time a political figure either makes a mistake or does something that's not the greatest, they go, oh, he's Hitler.
And yeah, it's like, Hitler.
They just say it for the clicks and for the shock value. And it's like, okay, like no Biden or no Trump, or they're not Hitler. Like it's a whole different thing. But yeah, people just got to label it and be as shocking as possible.
I got to tell you, one of the most brave families I've ever known, and said their daughter. Matter of fact, one of them actually worked at Hubbard for a while. That's how I met the family. Many, many years ago, this is. But there was a family. I don't know if they're still around. I hope they are, because they're very nice people. But their last name is Gittler, right? Gittler. The last name is Gittler.
Mm-hmm.
And to add on to the story, they're Jewish. I was like, holy shit. That's got to be a bag to carry around with you.
Yeah, a rough childhood, I would assume, going to like middle school.
I would think so. But yeah, they're, you can get some names like that. There's no question about that. I got to be honest with you. There's one name. If it were my last name, I would definitely have changed it. And of course, he used it so everybody knows who he is. So he kept his name because on his part, I guess it would be very smart. But I could not go through life, Tom Schwarzenegger. No, sorry, I just can't go through life like that. What do you think?
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Because you know, Schwarz means black. So oh, it's not in. Yeah, most people don't know that, but it's like and I brought him a lot of fame, I guess, and he's had a big career and all the rest. But I don't know that I could have gone through life with that name. Not in my neighborhood. I definitely couldn't have. There's no question about it. Hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of the 10 worst last names.
I like this.
Yeah,
this
there's
good.
There's number three is Hooker. Not a great.
Sure.
Boner, again, not a great one.
Pretty bad.
Crapper is on here.
No, there's no Crapper.
But then I don't know how valid this list is, because then they go with Trump. And it's like,
oh, see,
and
there
Zdinsky,
you go.
Zdinsky, and then there's a bunch of semen. That's another one that's not great.
Oh, tell Dan that. He'll be happy.
I mean, if you ask Dan about his childhood, I'm sure there were some jokes made in his direction in middle school, high school.
The first time I ever sat down face-to-face with Dan to talk about working together,
mm-hmm.
he brought that up. Because I used to tease the piss out of him over on KQRS, because his last name was, you know, Dan, that idea's got semen all over it. You know, do that kind of thing.
Yep.
But Dan handles that very well. So you're right, Tevin. He's been dealing with it his whole life because he handles it really well.
Oh, you know what I mean? And I'm sure if you, like when he hears somebody about to say it, he can beat them to the punchline with whatever they're going to say.
Oh, absolutely, right?
I think that is true. Well, it wasn't so bad. I of course, went with Barnyard. Of course, I heard got to hear Barnyard all the time, but you know, as comparison, mine's not very powerful. I got to be honest with you, right?
Right. Or like my initials being TP, I always got the, oh, like toilet paper. I'm like, okay, geez. Very original.
That's so lame.
Are you 6 years old?
It is lame. No, you're absolutely TP. Oh, you do the beep. Shut up. How about the T is in there for shut and up? There you go. The last two letters in shut up. Did you ever figure that out before?
No, but I wish I
would've.
The
last letter of shut and the last letter of up. TP, shut up. I like it. So from your generation, I know we got to get moving here quickly. There's no question about that. But from your generation's perspective, why is it that people believe in evil but not good? They believe in the devil but not God. Why is that? You think it'd be one, it'd be both or none, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. People have a weird desire to be miserable, I think. And if you
good point.
Look on the bright side of things, or like the, then it's not, you don't get as many clicks and stuff. I don't know. AJ, what do you think?
I think we would need like a 7-hour show to actually dissect this properly.
Well, you're probably right, but I just want to know how we get to the places we get to. How all good is gone, but all evil is present. It's like, why do you want to live like? Because you want to be a victim? Is that what? Is this, I'm a victim of society? Is that what this is?
Maybe it could just be the like overarching. People don't have the same maybe positive view of life as they did as they were a kid or something like that, and how stuff has kind of turned worse for wear. Like it seems like. Constantly, there's war popping up all over the globe. They keep getting told like, hey, the planet's dying, this type of thing. Yep. Hey, you know, the polar bears are extinct. Like, rarely is there a hey, we found a brand new species of frog.
Right.
So like, that's happy right now. It feels like it's more everything's dying, everything's bad, and so it's hard to find maybe the good in that bad.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we love our own lives and try the best that you can? Give it your best. And you'll live a pretty good life, probably. You're going to run into some problems. There's no question about that. You know, I've had some bad experiences with human beings myself, you know, stealing money from me and things like that. But I, instead of wringing my hands and tearing up, I said, okay, well, I better get to work and get 3 times that amount back. Instead of going, oh, I lost that, which it should have never happened, I understand. But you get to work and you make 3 times that much. Go there, you prick. You should have waited longer to be a thief. You know what I mean?
Sounds fair.
Make them look bad. Yeah, I suppose we better get cooking here, but there's a lot of stuff. I'm glad we talked about that, though, because we are from two completely different generations, and I'm trying to understand, and I forgot the number again. We got to put that number up, because I want to start taking calls and stuff from people and get their take on, do you think that evil has overtaken good? I know it has in people's consciousness, but, I mean, it sure seems the world's got a lot of evil going on in it right now. No doubt, right?
Right you are.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a break, be right back. Some lame-o, what's his name? Hey Jude, is that his name?
Yeah, we can start singing that during the break.
Hey Jude. Then my dog would come if I do that, though, so I can't do that. We shall be right back. Hi, this is Tom Barnard for Olivia Weight Control Centers. Now it's time to get a jump on summer. You could lose up to 20 pounds or more in your first 8 weeks the Livia way. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique needs, goals, your lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way. Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. It's kind of great because I broke that barrier. And I told you, I think I'm gonna talk about my weight loss on Mondays, because that would be the 7 days in. I started on a Monday, so I'll talk a bit about how much I lost that week on Mondays. But I just wanted to mention, up, I dropped another pound last night, and we'll find out what that's all about. I was talking to these guys. I just got back from a 5.5-mile walk. I do 8 miles every day. And if I stay on this pace, I'm only going to have to do like a 6-mile walk and then a 2-mile walk. It'd be pretty easy. It's made it very, very simple for me, I tell you what. In any case, join Livia today. Get your first 8 weeks free, by the way. I did say your first 8 weeks are free. Visit Livia.com. That's L-I-V-E-A, L-I-V-E-A.com, or call 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia is now offering GLP-1 medications. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. Visit Livia.com. Call 855-GO-LIVIA. Start your weight loss journey now and get a jump on summer the Livia way.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all of your continued support. To thank you, they're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code Tom, you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets, and they are fantastic, man, I'm telling you. They just arrived. They won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98, and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as, let's say, mattresses, mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, and they're on sale right now for as low as $99.99, a great price. Everything is on sale. Matter of fact, the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels, they actually absorb, shock of the century, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom, and you get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Tom.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, from Score North. Judge Zolgad, what's happening? Now, we had a little reveal because I was just about to watch where Caitlin Clark ended up, and then I had to hop on the air, so I didn't get to hear the announcement. But Tevin and AJ brought it up. Judd, what's your take on that?
Well, I think it's absolutely a shame that the Lynx, when they got off to a bad start last summer, did not completely tank, lose every game they possibly could. You could see this coming from a mile away, and you know what? Can you imagine if they had another... There's a lottery, but obviously it's weighted towards the worst teams. But can you imagine the ticket sales if they had pulled Jesus. That one off? That would have been. Oh. And she grew up a Lynx fan in Des Moines.
Yep.
It was perfect. It was perfect. And yet the Lynx had to, you know, we're going to get our act together and we're going to make what, the playoffs and lose immediately. I don't get teams sometimes. That, yeah, it was either. The biggest PR, no pun intended, slam dunk in the history of PR.
I understand, but they just don't put some. Can anybody see outside themselves anymore? Because it's what I want, not what should be done. It's what I want. Is that what this is all about?
Well, teams can't because they the immediate, like the coach and the players, always want to try to turn things around and win now. So what you really need is you need the owner to come downstairs and say, oh, we're doing just fine. No one's getting fired for this. You're doing your job. So sports is weird because it's run by a front office that should have the long view in mind, but it's also run by people who are on the field or in the dugout or on the bench, and they are always trying to find immediate fixes. And sometimes I'd like to say the immediate fix is unnecessary. And in this case, it was unnecessary.
That's a very good point. Who owns the Lynx?
Glenn Taylor.
Oh, he does. I didn't know that. No wonder they can't win. Well, what's he ever won? Seriously, the man's a billionaire. What has he ever won?
Well, the Lynx got a couple championships. They won championships. Yeah, no, they because they got a great player, Maya Moore.
Oh yeah,
yep. Who was Caitlin Clark's hero? She was fantastic, and they actually won championships. Now, when it comes to the Timberwolves, you are exactly right, Glenn Taylor. I've always said this. He is clearly a hell of a businessman as far as making billions and running companies. But when it comes to sports, which is a very different thing, he doesn't. He saved the Wolves, so that's something to be said for that back in 94 or so. But, he is not the most efficient owner in sports.
No, he's not. But, you know, I tried to be a Timberwolves fan. It's too painful. But my daughter is. No, she's a huge Timberwolves fan. Oh, yeah, she loves the Timberwolves. So, I don't know. Whatever works for you is all I have to say.
You're just like, what? Whatever. What? Whatever. If you want to be a Wolves fan, that's your bag. That's fine with me.
I had such a busy day yesterday. I had a very busy day yesterday. I'll tell you how busy. I have no idea if the Twins even played yesterday.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Let's pretend they didn't. Let's pretend that they had an off day. Let's pretend they got rained out again.
That
instead
team
of
sucks.
Instead oh, God, of they team. Are now 6-9. You know, they swept a doubleheader from the Tigers on Saturday. And so yep. I thought, oh boy, there's a chance Tom's gonna be very I can bring this great news of a resurgence. And then they pissed away the game on Sunday because they had that game won, and then
3-0.
And then they lost that game. And then last night was not pretty. St. Paul's own Louis Varland now has an 8.36 ERA. He is tied for the American League lead with 5 home runs given up. And he might be best served to pitch out of the bullpen where he was fantastic in the playoffs. But as a starter, I'm not sure it's going to work out long term for Louis.
I still don't understand why they didn't let that team fall apart the way they did. They had a pretty damn good year last year, won one round of the playoffs, got blown out in the second round, but they were on their way. So what do? Typical Minnesota team, let's change everything. Like, what?
Well, and now they've lost because the baseball karma gods are upset with them. They don't have their third baseman.
Yeah.
Royce is out right now. Correa got hurt on Friday.
Yep.
So he's not playing right now. So the entire left side of your infield is out, which is a problem. Their injury list, I mean, remains ridiculously yes. long. Yep. And they did finally come to their senses. And after a terrible spring training and a brutal start to the season, I saw a report today. They sent Matt Wallner, who can do nothing but strike out, to St. Paul, AAA St. Paul, and Trevor Larnach, who also was hurt to start the season, but I guess is recovered now, was called up. So it's not going to save the day, but watching Wallner's at-bats had become particarily painful.
For me or just everybody?
Everybody. I mean, he's just striking out. That's all he basically did.
It is true. I watched that team in spring training, and finding their games maybe made it worse because it was impossible to find their spring training games. Luckily, now I can get, because of, you know, streaming, I can get every Twins game. And the only reason I didn't watch, I literally had a day, it was packed yesterday. I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even notice if they had a game or not because I was distracted with stuff. But I love my Twins. I've loved horrible Twins teams. I loved it when they won 2 World Series. But let's be honest, that was, what, 33 years ago now, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
33 years ago. See? That's all I'm saying.
And that's the most recent one.
Yeah, that's right. That's the most recent World Series they've been in 33 years later. So I will always be a Twins fan. I will always love the Twins. But that team really sucks right now.
Yeah, unfortunately. And the problem now is until some guys start to come back,
yep.
they are going to have to try to do nothing more than tread water, essentially. Because they're down so many guys now. And I mean, the problem too is Baltimore is good now. You know, Baltimore, which was a dumpster fire for years, got so many damn first round draft picks that they're really good now. And there's a very good chance that they're going to win the American League East when it's all said and done. So yeah, it's a rough start. And, you know, unfortunately, until I don't know when guys are going to start to come back, because I think Royce is probably out until June.
Yeah,
I don't know that there's going to be some type of seismic turnaround.
I sure hope so, because man, it makes summer that much better. It really does. There's
no question about it.
I just
last fall was fun, but you know what? The good news is this: the division remains not good. It's not as bad as it was a year ago. But the good news is, if you recall, I think we basically had these conversations through the first half of last year. And because the division was so bad, they still came back and won it. So that's the good thing is this team, I think last season, if I recall, the first half of the year, they basically didn't hit. They couldn't get a hit, which is the same problem this team has had at times. So if they were in a good division, they could be buried. I don't know that in this one, it's improved, but like I said, it's still not really good. I think there's an an opportunity as long as you can hold on and not be absolutely buried by the time July rolls around.
No, I don't think there's any question. So 1 minute left. Could they have kept Sonny Gray had they wanted to? Or sure, did he just want out of here?
Well, I think he... I don't know that he loved how he was being used, but I right. think if the money had been right, they could have kept him.
Why wouldn't they keep him?
Because their TV piece of the pie went down, and they had to, they couldn't keep him. That's what they, I mean, the problem was, I think they were trying to be transparent, but when young Joe Pollad, who now runs the team, basically came out immediately after the playoffs and said, yeah, we're going to have to slash some payroll. I don't know. That's the message that you want to. Transparency is good, but that's sort of like saying the patient has died. I don't think you want to hear it, really.
I agree with you, man. We'll just keep slogging through. And like I said, I love the Twins, you know, and I praise them when they're on their mark, and I criticize them when they're not, and that's how much I love the team. I bitch about them a lot right now because I love that team, and they're horrendous. So you're going to hear me complain a lot about because I love that team. If I didn't, I wouldn't. I go, who cares? I don't care if you lose every game. I do care, and well, they suck.
Well, you make sure that you can stream the games.
Yeah.
That is love.
And right there, baby. That's not that, cheap where I am, I'll tell you that.
No, I bet it's not. That is true love.
All right. Another great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, see what the hell's going on in the world, right?
Hopefully I have good news of some sort tomorrow.
Like based on what?
Who knows?
See, I like that.
I mean, the Twins will stumble into a baseball. A pitcher won't give up a home run. I don't know. I'm just spitballing being very sunshine and rainbows, Tom Bernard.
You're a good man, Judd. You're a good man.
All right.
I have to say.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, Bally.
Bye.
Judd Zolgad, Score North. Ladies and gentlemen, we take a break. Be right back. Chris Eggert will join us right after this. In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo, well, they can also help you sell your firearm safely, worry-free. If you've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, maybe you don't know what to do with them, like me, I'd be in that category. Or if you have guns you're no longer using, that's important as well. Call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely through consignment and auction. You're doing your family a favor, too, because you don't want guns just laying around you don't use. Not a good idea. I know Jim. He's extremely knowledgeable, will help you get top dollar. He will help you explore all the options, take the work and stress off your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive and Line of Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Alley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
And this is Chris Eggert News. What do you think of the intro?
I love it.
I've been doing it a long time, you know what I'm saying?
A couple of years under your belt.
A couple of years under the belt, there's no question about it. What's happening in your world, Pally?
Oh, you know, it's actually pretty quiet night last night in the old news front. I'm happy to report.
So no maskers, no stabbing, no choking.
Well,
women to
I never.
Death. That's good.
I mean, I didn't say that. I mean.
Yeah, there you go.
It was yesterday. The big news was there was a guy out in Montrose who got in some kind of a confrontation with I think it was a Wright County Sheriff's deputy, and the person was shot. We don't know what the person's condition is this morning, but we're trying to figure that out. So that was a big thing that happened yesterday. A person was hoarding like hundreds of cats up in Crosby.
Oh God.
You ever been in one of those deals?
Yeah.
I know, Tevin. It's not good.
No, that's terrible. Like the litter box would be just insane.
Ugh. I don't think there's a litter box. That's the litter box is
the house
everywhere. But what is weird about this one is that the whatever investigative agency put out the information about it, maybe it was the Humane Society up there, they said like anybody in the Crosby area who's had a missing cat in the last 10 years, it might be over there. And so they're asking the public to like report, like to check in with them. And it, because normally it's just like somebody who's got the cats and who's like raising them or selling them or hoarding them, but they're not necessarily like taking other cats, because that's what's implied with this particular thing, which is
right.
Weird, so
I have a question for you. Yes, sir? I don't understand that. I mean, we've had dogs, we've had cats, we've had birds. When Alex was little, she wanted birds, so we've had that too.
Yep.
Never much of a problem. I never wanted more than one. We had a house cat and a barn cat, because we lived out in Dayton. So we had one of each. That was a good number. Liked them. Good cats, all of us. Why do you want thousands of cats in your house? What is driving that?
Let me find out if there's, let me look here at this, if there's any. Yeah, generally what happens is there's a mental health issue that's going on. Yeah, I know. It seems. But I just double checked. Some of the cats that were there had microchips from previous owners. So somehow, like, they were cats that were people's family pets that somehow ended up at this. I mean, maybe those cats were just going over there like for a good time, and they kind of heard that was like the hang.
Maybe.
And so they went over there or something. I'm not really sure.
It might be right. Who the hell knows what cats aren't going to tell you a damn thing. Dogs will. Cats don't tell you anything. It's none of your business.
No, cats aren't. And I remember, where was it? It wasn't here, but I remember covering one of these situations where like there were dead cats in the freezer.
Oh yeah.
It was just like, because the person, cats must have died. Like maybe it was during winter and they didn't know what to do with them. I mean,
is this because they can't make a human connection? These people can't make human connections. So they do the next best thing and try to surround themselves with animals. Is that part of this?
I mean, that could definitely be it. And maybe it's somebody, maybe it's some well-intended person who just can't say no. You know, I mean, there are people who've got, you do see how that sort of can spiral out of control when, you know, you take a couple in, next thing you know, you got a couple litters. I mean, hell, within a year or two, you could turn two cats into what, 30? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's. So anyway, if that's the biggest thing that we had going on last night, that to me, that's a pretty good, that the last night's news wasn't awful. There were a couple of, we didn't do much with it last night, but we mentioned it this morning. There were some anti-Israel Gaza
protests that had gone on around the country in different places. They shut down the bridge out in the Bay Area.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big one by O'Hare. We had one downtown here in front of Klobuchar's office. It's a little unclear if I know the group we the Minnesota group that was marching last night was saying that they're against Israel taking any further action against Iran. But I think the other ones around the country were solely about what's going on right now with Israel and Hamas. So I'm not exactly sure.
What I'd love to do is sit down with all those people and go, tell me about why you're upset. What is it about the Jews that you don't like? They would not be able to answer that question.
We had a big talk about that at dinner the other night with my kids, because they don't understand the nuance of, you know, what, and well, I mean, quite frankly, no one can really fully understand the nuance of everything that happens in the Middle East. But I was kind of trying to explain, you know, well, this is why this Iran thing's different, because Iran's always generally used these proxies to fight against Israel. And the fact that they just blatantly hurled all these missiles and drones, you know, right across the country and, you know, didn't even try to hide the fact. I said, that's where, you know, the whole situation gets different. And that'll be interesting to hear today as sort of news keeps coming out about what Israel's going to do to retaliate, because it doesn't sound like there's any question.
It's got to stop sometime. Oh, man, that's not true. It doesn't have to stop. I wish it would stop sometime, though, because this is, it's all about money grubbing. I want the world, and particularly the United States, to understand all of this starts because of a lust for money. I'm taking your land. Why? Because it's worth more than the land I've already got. I'm taking this. I hate you for this. It's always about money. It's disgusting.
Lots of money, lots of power, lots of, you know, and that's what's, you know, the whole Iran thing at its own. It's like, wow, well, that was really freaking cool. Like, to me, it was really cool how that Iron Dome thing functioned, and to watch those to watch those missiles like vaporize up into like right on the edge of space like that. Like, to me, that's like, well, what a neat like victory in one regard. But on the other hand, you start getting into who's supplying the weapons to Iran, and then you start getting into the, you know, China, Russia, North Korea, blah, 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 blah. It's the whole thing is just, it's frightening, actually. I mean, to be honest, I don't use that word very often, but
did one of those missiles strike? Cause I know they shot 99 of them out of the air, or at least
I don't know that it was a missile, but something hit an airbase, and there was like a 7-year-old girl who got critically injured, who was somewhere nearby. So one person was, I mean, which is absolutely awful, right? And even worse, it's a little kid that, you know, had nothing to do with anything. But when you think about how many things they were hurling over, to me, it's a miracle that only one person ended up being hurt.
Is she going to survive it?
I'm not sure.
God, I hope so. God.
I didn't hear anything about it yet this morning, but last time I sort of was snooping around on it yesterday and reading up, it didn't sound great, but hopefully.
Those evil 7-year-olds, you know.
Right.
I just really wish this would stop, the hatred. It's just so disgusting, isn't it?
I agree.
I mean, I really don't understand how, because I don't agree, you don't agree with me, I hate you. What? I could literally try to think that through every day of my life, and I just can't. Just because we don't agree, you hate me. That makes no sense. I've lived a different life than you. We've had different upbringings. We have different lives. We have different lives now. We're not going to be exactly the same. Calm down.
Well, that's the Middle East, right? Like, that's why, I mean, people will say there's never find a way you can ever have some sort of, like, lasting peace given the – I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of adversarial relationship that, you know, I did hear, who was it the other day, referred to the public of Iran, like it was some Q&A that was going on, I think, during the Sunday morning shows. And they were talking to an expert and they're like, well, we know the government of Iran seems hell bent on being, you know, being willing to stir up trouble with Israel. But they're like, what are the people there like? And somebody referred to it as like the government of Iran is like North Korea, but the people of Iran are more like South Korea. So like the people of Iran don't really have an appetite for any of this, but it's Iran. So how much does the leadership there even really care what the public input is on it? So
you made a lot of money from the United States. What was that? $150 billion we just shipped over to them for no reason.
Well, there's a whole bunch for the supposed ending of their nuclear program.
Yep.
And that was another issue that came up. If, you know, if Iran has nuclear capability, and the same expert, I think, was like, well, even if they don't, if they've got money, all they've got to do is get some money to Pyongyang, and, you know, North Korea would be happy to send a nuke over to, you know, get involved in it somehow. But
yeah, it's so amazing. It's just sad. That's all you can say. It's just sad that people, because we look differently, we act differently, we have different beliefs, therefore we should hate one another. It's never made any sense to me at all.
No, I agree.
What are you going to do? Matter of fact, you make no sense, so get the hell off the show.
It's fair. It's fair.
It's only fair.
I get that reaction a lot, Tom. It's fine. I'm not offended by it. I've got thick skin.
I highly doubt that you get picked on a lot. I really don't think
I'm good. I'm all right.
All right, Palomino, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good rest of your day, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Eggert. Ladies and gentlemen, Channel 5's Chris Eggert, brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation, 952-925-5608. We shall take a break. Be right back in a couple of minutes, right after this special guest coming up. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. Thank you. They're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146, go to MyPillow.com, and use promo code TOM.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest ready to go?
Sure is.
Meg Gibson, David Bianchi, how you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, Pally. Actor, writer, filmmaker Dave Bianchi has over 120 professional. That's all? Only 120? That's it?
What can I say? I'm a classic underachiever, but I'm still growing up to be like you, Tom.
I love it. David here talking about the release of the Revolutionary series. Now, do you pronounce it Razor, R-Z-R? How do you pronounce it?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's pronounced Razor, R-Z. Yeah, it's spelled R-Z-R. You find out in the show that that's actually its screen name. So, as you mentioned, I'm the creator, co-writer, executive producer, and I also play the lead opposite some pretty cool Hollywood giants: Danny Trejo, Mina Suvari, who's obviously you know her for American Beauty, Richard Cabral, Emilia Rivera from Sons of Anarchy. It's a dark dystopian world that takes you into brain implants, hacker culture, and black market crime.
So it's like real life then.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're very negative areas you go into. What are you going to do? A series of sci-fi thriller takes you into a dystopian world of neural plants, artificial intelligence, the underbelly of black market crime, which debuted its trailer, Hall H, during San Diego Comic-Con last summer. That's interesting. I've always wanted to go to Comic-Con. I've never gotten there, David. Is it a good time?
It's a good time, man. I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. You get to watch big people behave like children, and they have fun doing it. And there's so much cosplay, and there's so much fandom and lore, and it's really an exciting, cool place. And San Diego's a great city, so I recommend it if you get a chance.
No, San Diego is a wonderful city. You're absolutely right. Yeah. New Yorker. Now, where did you grow up, David?
So I grew up in upstate New York, in Rochester, New York, but also in Mexico City and parts of Brazil. I've kind of traveled all over the place and, been in LA about 20 years now.
Now, is that how you got to deciding what you want to do? Moving around a little bit is going to, makes young people somewhat uncomfortable. Do you, moving around like you did, do you have to stand out in a crowd? I'm trying to make the mental connection between, your young life, your early life, and how far you've come. I'm always very interested in what drove people to get to where they are. Is that part of it, you think, David? You had to move around a lot?
It's a great question. Thanks for asking it. I think that the truth is I'm an artist first, Tom. And how I express that is through, performance, through film, through poetry. I mean, I was writing poetry and painting as early as second grade. I used to act out TV commercials on the swing set. We used to do improv commercials with each other when we were kids. So, I mean, I was doing improv before I knew what it was. So I'm convinced that whether I grew up in Minneapolis or whether I grew up in Dubai, I'd be an artist. Now, I could have became an architect or I could have became a creative marketing person, but I'd always be an artist. It's just in my system, It's like you think about it, Tom, some guys will study the bar until they're blue in the face, and then you've got some trial attorneys, and then there's Johnny Cochran. Like, some people just have it in their genetic code,
No question. The reason I find that so fascinating, David, is the fact that, you lived here, you lived there, you lived, several different places as a kid, and you adjusted to each one of them. Is that what makes you a good actor? The fact that you can adjust at several different places? I mean, we already talked about how you get how your mind was set in that way, but the fact you interpret it as, well, look, I've gone this from several different angles. I can write this, I can produce this, I can star in it. You had confidence in yourself. You could do it all, and you did it.
Well, it's a good point. And, as an actor, I speak multiple languages, I've traveled around, I've seen the world, all those things inform how I interpret text. So you could take the exact same scene and give it to five top tier actors. Every single time that interpretation is going to be different because that interpretation is informed by your life experience. And so because of my life experience, I interpret text in a certain way, and I think it does make me a much stronger actor. My dialects are strong. My global awareness is different than most people. So it does make me a stronger actor. As far as getting where I am, listen, brother, there's no nepotism in my story. I got my SAG card doing extra work for 4 years. I got a degree in theater. I'm classically trained, but I was a waiter and a bartender for 15 years. Like, I struggled, I had lived with cockroaches in Hollywood for 2.5 years. And I'm telling you, I tell it like it is, because I want also to prove to anybody that's listening out there right now that if you have a dream and you believe that you can achieve it, there's only one thing getting in your way, and it's yourself.
No, David, I don't want to spend a lot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, that's it.
Okay, I just want to make sure you were done there. I want to hear a little bit about, it's been a few times now I've heard about the new streaming service Gala, free to viewers, as a matter of fact, starting a couple of days ago. That's where you can find Razor right now. So Gala, and everybody can get it. You can just, it's going to pop up on streaming. You can just nail it and you're good to go.
Well, exactly. So the platform is called Gala. It's a brand new platform, and get this, it is free. It is a brand new platform, and Razor is the first show to launch the platform. You can go to film.gala.com. So film.gala.com, and you can watch Razor. All you have to do is set up a profile, literally log in with an email address, and you can stream it for free. There's no ads. There's no paywall. There's nothing getting in your way. It's a completely freemium platform.
That's magnificent. How did they pull that off, David? That's a big job they got done there.
And, you know, I've been working on this show for over 2 years now, and, you know, I'm really proud to launch this thing. And, you know, if you like cyberpunk, if you like The Matrix, if you like Mr. Robot, if you like Blade Runner, you're going to love Razor.
See, I'm glad you just did that, because it now I know exactly where you are, you know, how to get there, Gala, free to viewers, the whole shoot and match. You just talked about how you got to where you are and where Razor's headed with the whole story. See, I love that, to understand exactly where things came from. You sit down and go, oh yeah, I could see that. Now, my wife and I, every night we sit down and watch a couple hours of TV because, you know, we're separated for most of the day, and then we get together. And streaming television is a very important part of our lives now. I suppose, you know, standard television was earlier, but now streaming. So this is for men, women, for everybody who can understand what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the target demographic is, you know, pretty much like 18 to 45 year old men and women. It's a gritty show. I mean, it's definitely a rated R show. I mean, obviously it's not by the MPAA rated because it's a streaming show. But yeah, I mean, look, it's got some adult subject matter. I wouldn't recommend it for the kiddies under 16 for sure. But yeah, it's a smart show. It's a sophisticated show, and I think you'd get a kick out of it, man.
Well, I'm definitely going to watch it. There's no question, David. There, I absolutely have to talk to you. That's one thing I love about it. I've been interviewing people for 54 years now, and I've found so much happiness in interviewing people because I find out about shows like Razor. I watch them. I love them. I would not have even probably known about it had I not talked to you today. It's wonderful.
And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I mean, obviously, look, you've been around for that long because you're doing something right. So I feel very fortunate.
Or I'm doing it all wrong and I still have to work at it till I get it right.
You know, a wise man once told me that by the time I figure out the life,
whoops, did we lose him?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, you are still there. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, you got to hit the road here, but if you don't mind, because I used to interview him quite a bit, but I haven't talked to Danny in a while. What's it like working with Danny Trejo? I just love that guy.
I mean, Danny is such a charming, you know, uplifting guy. You know, one of the greatest things I learned are you with me?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Okay. Yeah, one of the greatest things I learned from Danny is he said, you know, David, I'd rather get into the gutter and make it. And, you know, that kind of wraps up Danny, man. He's always optimistic. He always knows that anything's possible. And we band together, we can get it done. And, you know, he's just a charming guy. Such a beautiful soul.
Love the guy. David Bianchi, ladies and gentlemen, released the revolutionary series Razor, first ever live action series released exclusively on the new streaming service Gala, free to viewers. It opened a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact. David, please come back and spend more time with us. I'd love to talk to you.
Tom, I appreciate the time and appreciate the opportunity to put a spotlight on the show.
You got it, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Take care.
He was a very pleasant guy.
Yeah, very nice.
You know, you scared him off last time. Typical AJ and Tevin. I can't go on that show with the supreme talent they have, you know. What a nice guy he was.
Yeah, you could tell that he kind of opened up, I think, as the interview got on. Because when I, you know, during the break, I got him on the phone and, you know, you could kind of tell he was in the, okay, I just got to do this because I have to do this type of thing. But, you
know, yeah, there you go.
But, you know, he opened up. You could tell he started having a little fun with it. And that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that makes me actually more driven to go watch Razor a little bit.
No question. I think, you know, I really can't blame the actors in this situation. The ones that I've, you know, worked with over the years and all the rest of it are great. But I, you know, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, but you know, in radio and podcasting and television and interviewing, most people are just not very good at it. They just aren't.
Yeah.
So you hear you want to be interviewed by this guy, that guy, whatever. Well, you're rolling the dice because a lot of people are not very good at interviewing people. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I got I don't know. I'm not saying I'm the greatest interviewer of all time, but I'm okay at it. And I have no idea why that is. I guess it's because I'm actually interested in what they're doing. Maybe that's what it is. You know, how he got to be where he is today. Then I learned he lived here. And he lived in four different countries by the time he turned 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine the stress of that?
Oh, I couldn't. I've never moved down to Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's bad enough going, I moved four times, maybe in the same town or the same state. Or across, but to go to a whole new country with whole new customs and traditions, like, yeah, that would be very difficult to do as a child.
There's no question, and it's been brought up several times, and it is true, and I try to help people by bringing it up. But I always listen to what women tell me to do because my father wasn't around. I didn't know that at first. You kind of just come to that. Like, if somebody's going to give me an order or a direction, it almost always has to be a woman, because if it's a guy, I won't do it. And it's not intentional, by the way. I don't go, it's a guy, I'm not doing that. But I tend to lean toward listening to women because that's what I've always done, right? Because I had to.
Yeah.
That's why when, you know, he comes along to do David Bianca comes along to do an interview. How'd you get where you are today? I mean, look what you're doing. You wrote it, you directed it, you're starring it. How the hell did you get to that position? And anybody who wishes to be in that position, listen, will go, oh, okay. Well, he got there because he had a very different childhood. That, again, will be another situation where we go, I don't understand how you dislike someone who's not like you. We don't all live the same life. I lived in 41 different houses by the time I was 18 years old. Most people don't go through something like that. It made me different than you. Doesn't mean I'm better or worse than you, but I am different than you. Why can't we accept that anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like more people will go, well, oh, you lived in 41 houses? Well, I lived in 42. Like, my life is way worse. It's like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, everybody wants to one-up everybody. Yeah. Just
they do indeed. I mean, there was one year, I swear to God, we moved like 10 times. We had to move like every 90 or not every like 35 days. Like, Jesus. But, you know, the old rent came due. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, pack it up. We're out.
Pack it up, baby. But, you know, some of those houses are still there. And I drive through north of Minneapolis and look at those. Most of them are gone. A lot of them are just empty lots now. But some are still there. And I get some great, well, like I said, I lived in three houses at 2955 Russell, 3015 Russell, and 3115 Russell. We just kept moving down. Well, the 2955 one's the one that burned down. But I am fascinated. And that, by the way, is what appears to be a lot of talent. It's that experience that makes them so talented. Having all those different experiences like David Bianchi did makes him really good at what he does because he's seen life from many different angles. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, and I bet Razor's probably got to be pretty good because of how long it took him to do it, and it sounds like it's his passion project. But anything that you're putting, like he said, he bartended for like 15 years and is living with roaches in California.
Right.
That's a great motivational factor to make sure that your first project is a home run.
No question about it.
I'm curious if it was actual insects or he was talking about just his roommates were the roaches.
maybe. There's a chance that might be the truth. There's no question about it. We got to take a break. Be right back. Josh Arnold will join us right after this. In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearms safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News. Along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
You want to know why that guitar is crying? That when you stretch your guitar like that.
Yeah,
why
is that?
Because it knows that Josh Arnold's on now. So it started
weeping. Oh, are you telling me you're going to be crying? People are going to be crying to listen to me.
I said a guitar, not a person.
I thought people would be cheering to listen to me.
Yes, sure. Well, they do. I can hear them now.
There we go.
They're out in the streets. What's going on, Buster?
Well, the Dow Jones is trying to claw its way back to positive after several, actually more than a week of negative days.
Ooh.
But the week of negative days is fairly typical of the start of April as people worry about what earnings are going to be happening from the first quarter as earnings start to get reported for the first quarter. And that started last week. In the meantime, you have major concerns about the Federal Reserve and their mantra of higher for longer, as economic reports continue to show that inflation is still around. And I give for that a big D-U-H. Like, duh. I don't know where some of these people are living, but duh, of course inflation is up. Just look at the price of gasoline at the pump.
Oh, God, it's huge.
Now, I realize that, Tom, that you do have an electric car for one of your vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a gas guzzler for the other. And both are manufactured by Ford.
That's correct.
And both have the Pony label on them.
Yes, they do.
Okay, well, if you go out and I don't know whether you run premium in the ICE, but if you run premium in the ICE, the prices 4.75 right now, which is up substantially from the beginning of the year because the price of oil has risen. You know, from the beginning of the year. Hey, oil goes through the economy like a wildfire, and it impacts everything that we purchase. So that's why I say, duh, there's inflation right there. It's still sticky, And the Federal Reserve says, well, it's not going to come down to our 2% target, so we're going to keep rates higher for longer. And that upsets an awful lot of market strategists and prognosticators who have had to come down from their early year view that the Fed would cut 6 times or 7 times. And now they're trying to figure out, are they going to cut 3 times or 2 times or maybe not at all? So that is also having an impact on stocks. And then we can talk about some of the military conflicts, and I'm being light on that, that are happening in Europe and in the Middle East. And there's the concern, again, it could impact the price of oil. What Israel's response to Iran bombing them over the weekend is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The market is concerned with that. Those things as macro issues, and then micro issues, what's happening with companies and their earnings reports. The bank started out, J.P. Morgan last week, not so good. Wells Fargo had some issues with net interest. But today, Bank of America came out, and they were a little bit better than expected. Morgan Stanley, which is more an investment bank, beat. They were up. And a big worry for the market moving from banks to a healthcare concern was what was going to happen with United Health. United Health, local company, a member of the Dow Jones, did have some issues with cyber hacking of one of their divisions.
God.
And that was said to have a big impact on their earnings, but United Health did better than feared, and that has sent the stock up $29 a share, and it's had a real positive impact on the Dow Jones. Johnson & Johnson, another member of the Dow Jones, hit a 52-week low, though they did slightly better than expected. But I'm guessing their guidance was not too strong. On the tech front, well, if interest rates go up, that has had an adverse effect on technology shares. And many tech companies, including a market favorite, NVIDIA and AMD, are currently in corrections, down more than 10% from their highs. But they are going to be providers of AI chips, and there is going to be quite the competition for those chips in the marketplace. AMD came out with some new AI chips that could be well accepted. Companies that I think are going to be a struggle would be an old line favorite such as Intel. And speaking of Intel, they are going to receive a little over $8.6 billion from the government as part of the CHIPS Act. And the government is also spreading their largesse on New York-based Global Foundries, which does make legacy chips. And Taiwan Semiconductor is going to be a recipient in chips to build another plant in Arizona. Taiwan Semi, however, is having some trouble getting employees that won't be able to operate those chips or those factories, and they're bringing in employees from Taiwan. And today, the Secretary of Commerce announced that Samsung, I don't think Samsung is a U.S.-based company, but Samsung is going to get some of those chips dollars, like $6.4 billion, to build a semiconductor plant in the U.S. The aim of all this government largesse on these chip manufacturers is to eventually build 20% of chip supply here in the United States. And we'll see how that works out. On a separate front, sports have become big, big, big business, and sports-related companies have done well, including a favorite of mine, DraftKings, which finally got a little bit of a notice from a major brokerage firm. Goldman Sachs upped DraftKings today, put a price target of $40 a share, or excuse me, $60 a share, not $40 a share. Stock is currently trading at 44 and a quarter, but Goldman sees DraftKings as a revenue compounder.
Ooh.
Well, we'll see how much revenue they do compound when they report in May. DraftKings is, we'll say, not yet generating profits, but they will, as they've been registering in more states. And DraftKings, like several of the other sports betting companies, including their competitor FanDuel, owned by Flutter, had a very, very good March Madness month in terms of betting. And one last thing, the government is still out there listening to the people, and the people have said, we don't like Ticketmaster. We feel that Ticketmaster is making too much money, and they're a monopolist. So according to the Wall Street Journal, the Department of Justice is suing, or is going to file suit against, Live Nation Entertainment for being a monopolist.
Ooh.
With their ownership stake in Ticketmaster. And Ticketmaster does have a big market share of, we'll say, the ticketing world, and particularly the ticketing world for major entertainment events and in major arenas. Now, I would almost say that Ticketmaster probably had to compete against others to get some of those deals, no different than media trying to get media rights for all the sporting and other entertainments. We'll see how that works out, but it is election time, and we've got to show that we're on the job.
Yeah, that's
concerned
very
concerned about the people and what they're paying for going to see Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
It's a good like, call, Pally. We will talk to you on.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you Friday.
Later. Thanks okay. a lot. Bye.
Bye. Josh Arnold, ladies and gentlemen. I love when Josh gets on a roll, because you just sit back for like 10, 12 minutes and he's on a roll, man. He does know what the hell he's doing investment-wise, though. He's my friend, and I invest with him, and the guy does a hell of a job. He knows a lot more about it than you and I do. Let me put it that way. That's a good way to put it, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
We shall take a break. Be right back. Another genius, KB2, right after this. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Bird Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, KB2. You know, I got Josh Arnold, and you got KB2. Two geniuses back to back. Right?
Totally different topics, though.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do. You know what I mean?
I try to do a good job. There's not every day.
You do a great job. Always every day. It's unbelievable. It's nonstop. So what's up, sister?
A couple of like loose ends that I think we should tie up because I know we've talked about these topics quite a bit. The Rust trial. Now, Alec Baldwin has not had his trial, but the armorer yesterday was sentenced and she got 18 months. That's Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She was the one who the judge said you took a safe weapon and made it into a lethal weapon. This was the maximum for involuntary manslaughter. And the reason why the judge gave her the full sentence was because they listened to her phone calls from jail. And you just never know who's listening when you've been arrested. But she was blaming Alec Baldwin, the producers, the EMTs who were trying to save Helena Hutchins, who was the cinematographer who was shot on the set.
Right.
And she was complaining about the judge. She was complaining about the prosecutors. Oh. So, yeah. And the judge basically said it was a pretty – I watched the actual sentencing. The judge was not pleased with her one bit. She's like, you're sorry because you have Helena Hutchins' family sitting in front of you, but you have not accepted any sort of accountability for what you did.
That's amazing. I mean, does it surprise you she got that much time, the maximum?
It doesn't, given the situation and the fact that the judge was like, this is the evidence. Also, yeah. The armorer's family was also pretty combative during the trial. So maybe they raised a daughter who doesn't accept consequences for their action.
Do you think this will carry over to Alec?
I do. I'm actually working on a story today saying I think that this is going to affect his trial somewhat for anyone who's following it. If I were him, I'd be sweating a little bit, to be honest.
Do you think he'll get jail time?
I don't think he'll get jail time. I don't think it'll happen. I feel like he was the secondary step in all of this, you know, where, he wasn't the one who put the live round in the bullet, but he did mishandle the firearm.
He pulled the trigger.
Yep. And I think that the jury will find some type of accountability there, and that I just don't see him going to jail. I bet he'll get like probation.
You know what's amazing about that is my whole life, because I've been around guns my whole life, right, including handguns. And I don't care what the situation is. You never point a gun at anyone. I don't care if you think it's empty. You do not point guns at people.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Why doesn't he have to serve time for being that stupid?
And the prosecutors I know are leaning into his temperament on set.
There is
some film of him being short-tempered, which, listen, that has been his history for a very long time in Hollywood. We've seen him with the paparazzi being combative. So I think that, you know, that could work against him. We will see what happens. But if I were Alec Baldwin, I would not be feeling great today.
You know, what's weird about that is Danny and I became, you know, not great friends, but friends. Nice guy. He's nothing like Alec at all. And you got Billy and Steven, very nice guys. Talk to him. I have never even talked to Alec Baldwin in my life. He has separated himself from everyone because he thinks he's a supreme being.
Yeah, I haven't interviewed him either. He's considered what I would say that a New York celebrity, has spent most of his career on the East Coast.
Yep.
And does very little interaction with LA press. So he doesn't have a great relationship with New York press, let's be honest.
I don't think he talks to anybody.
At this point, I mean, he did do, I don't know if everyone remembers, right after the shooting happened, which was in 2021, hard to believe, he did an interview, and I believe it was George Stephanopoulos at ABC News.
Another
against, I don't know why he did it, honestly. If I were his lawyers, I'd be like, shut your trap. Don't, like, wait until this whole thing is over.
Yes.
I understand. And he was devastated, and he looked devastated, and he looked like he hadn't slept. Of course it's going to haunt him, but
right.
At the same time, I wouldn't want to jeopardize my case.
Yeah. I just don't understand why this all happened. Why she loaded the gun, why he pointed a gun at a human being. I don't understand. Why did any of this happen?
It was a lot of like sloppy work on set, cutting corners, low budget. The fact that allegedly she was partaking in some fun recreational but illegal activities the night before. So there was a lot at stake on that particular day, because not everyone was at 100%. And when you're handling firearms, everybody has to be at 100%, maybe 110% actually for safety.
I think it's probably, you know, I just got this kind of sad feeling, because I haven't talked to Danny in a couple of years now. And I would always know it's him because I'd answer the phone and he'd go, "Hey, Barnes." He always called me Barnes for some reason.
I actually like that.
Hey, Barnes. I got Barney.
That's a good nickname.
Barney, Barnes. Yeah, it is a good nickname. He's actually a vet. You ever had to deal with Danny Baldwin at all?
I have not. And, you know, he was a more tumultuous aspect of the Baldwin family back, you know, when he was struggling with his sobriety.
Yeah.
So, and that was kind of at the peak of Alec Baldwin's fame. So it was always like, oh, the rogue brother, you know?
No, it's absolutely true. Matter of fact, Danny one time started laughing because he's talking about things that you were just talking about. I said, "What are you, Irish Catholic?" And he just started laughing. Hey, it's, those are my people. That's all I have to say. That's all I can tell you. Yeah, that's so sad that woman had to die for no reason.
No reason. And, you know, her mother, who is still in the Ukraine, also, you know, spoke and just said, "My grandson does not have his mother." I mean, it just really is really sad.
It is indeed. You have any happy news from Hollywood? Is there ever any happy news?
There's never any happy news. I just want to add one. I just want to add one. I'll get into some like fun stuff in a moment. Right, but I just want to add one little button on the O.J. Simpson passing. I just thought this was interesting. And I know we've talked about this. They are not having his brain examined for CTE. And to me, that would probably have answered every single question allowed that.
Well, the NFL,
and I think that's a shame, to be honest.
Because of the NFL stepping in going, no, that don't do that?
Entirely possible. Yeah, I mean, I believe it's Boston University that has an entire division dedicated to researching CTE, and a lot of NFL players have stated in their wills that they want their body examined, their brains examined, because that's the only way you can actually get an official diagnosis.
Do you think it's a bad sign that nobody's ever asked me to examine my brain? What do you think?
I think you're good, Tom.
It hasn't been used much. We found that out through our research. Is that what it would be? That stuff is just so sad. You know, the whole thing is just, well, and again, it comes from your family and you know, three relatives being murdered and all that stuff. That kind of thing makes me very sad because I remember how sad I felt as a little kid, you know, that losing someone for no reason like that, you know, I don't know, whatever. I can't get over it.
Okay, let's pivot. Let's pivot. We don't want to do any more sadness on a Tuesday. We don't want this to be Sad Tuesday.
Sad Tuesday.
How about the Conan O'Brien comeback? Is everyone following this on social media?
Was just on what, CNN or something? I was kind of surprised he popped on CNN a couple of days ago.
Well, he has a Max show coming out on Friday. Oh, okay. That is Conan O'Brien Must Go. And what is great about this is that he never really went away. He's had his podcast. His podcast is fantastic. But I think people are rediscovering how funny he actually is. He just did an appearance on Hot Ones that if people have not seen it, it shows his brilliance and how quick and sharp he is.
Really?
Kevin, AJ, did either of you see it?
Yes.
Yep.
Were you guys fans before or is he kind of like just misses your generation?
I'm like, take it or leave it. I don't really pay too much attention to Conan O'Brien, but I do like watching Hot Ones. But AJ, you a fan of Conan?
Yeah, I love Conan O'Brien. He's like the last guy that I've like legitimately watched on like late night television. Mm-hmm. His remotes of like going to like a New York deli and trying to like sling pastrami sandwiches, or like his remotes where he flies to like Finland and he's like a weirdly obsessed like big superstar there for some reason. He's terrific. And now it sounds like this show, Conan Must Go, which drops, like you said, later this week, is like kind of the same. Get back out there, travel the world, and kind of show off just his like raw funniness and talent and charisma. So I'm super excited for it.
Is it true that nighttime talk television has got its lowest ratings ever right now?
It does, but they do very well, with the clips the next day, social media.
Oh, they do. Okay.
So yeah. So it financially, it's actually still a win for the networks, if that makes sense.
But it's not,
even though people aren't watching,
because they're not watching the show. Well, I gotta be honest with you. If you could pick three guys to be the host, you couldn't have done any worse. Seriously. I mean, Stephen Colbert, he's never been fun. One time he was funny.
I like Colbert. I like Kimmel every once in a while. Fallon is not my jam.
No,
but I do think, you know, Conan has made a lot of news too, because I could not believe that he had not been on The Tonight Show since his ouster. So his return last week made a lot of news too, because, you know, the network was not very welcoming to people they had kicked off. Like we talked about Joan Rivers, you know, not getting back until Jimmy Fallon invited her back. Same thing with Conan O'Brien. Kind of shocking.
How does that stuff even happen? You're at the top of the world and then all of a sudden you're gone.
The late night wars, back when that happened, and if you go from the succession from Johnny Carson to Jay Leno, and then the Jay Leno to Conan O'Brien, I know that there's a book called I think it's Night Wars, something like that, Late Night Wars. And it's out of print for some reason, but that's based on the Jay Leno and the Johnny Carson situation. But someone needs to write the follow-up, if they haven't already, about what happened with Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien, because that was ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
No.
Okay, so Jay Leno said he was retiring. He decided not to retire. And so they gave him that 10 p.m. slot. So he was the lead-in every single night, Monday through Friday, on NBC into The Late Show. And nobody, it was just too much talk show, back to back to back.
Yeah, true. It's a very good point.
The best part about that was when Conan, he finally got like the boot and he's like, hey, you got a month left. He just did these progressively more expensive and more expensive bits night after night, just running up the bill for NBC before they kicked him off. And like, there was nothing they could do about it. So he's like, he rented like the Fonz's like Ferrari one night and then like poured mayonnaise. It was like incredible. It was an incredible series.
And a reminder too, is that he moved his entire staff from New York to the West Coast. And then within, I don't know, what was it, 15 months, something like that? They were all out of a job. And so he did, with his payout, he gave them all bonuses until they found a job because, you know, they had uprooted their families and everything else, sold their homes. And I don't know if everyone remembers that Jimmy Kimmel had a very, I think it was a very tense interview with Jay Leno. Does anyone remember that? Because everyone was siding with Conan on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could see that. That's the way it's going to be, no question about it. I just, late night talk shows were always, my God, Johnny Carson was the king of the world. There's no question about that. And a couple of them did good jobs, but is it maybe the format just doesn't work that well anymore?
There's no reason to watch it, you know, because we have social media and we don't really need someone to gather the news of the day the way they used to. Now we can just, I mean, we can give our own opinion on Twitter in real time as it's happening. Before, you know, it was Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or David Letterman giving you their thoughts on the day. And, you know, when I think about it, like the O.J. Simpson trial, that was, if that had been during social media era, we never would have tuned into late night.
That's true.
But, you know, there you had Jay Leno and his dancing Itos every single night, giving you some summation of what happened in the courtroom, which is bananas, like when you think about it, but we don't need them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of different formats and then, you know, some very close to this area. It just, they got a struggle ahead of them in the future. There's no question because people are just, they just don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like even Saturday Night Live, you don't need it anymore for because they used to always spoof the news. I think this past weekend with Ryan Gosling was the first week. I didn't sit down and watch the episode, but I probably watched five or six clips because he was funny. And he was funny because he was breaking in every sketch pretty much. So that was the reason I had to watch. But, I you know, those are so few and far between. Or when you're like, oh, I have to go and see somebody's monologue. No, you don't.
The only problem I have with that is we're breaking yet another human connection, and that is not good. You know, when you're actually sitting watching a person because it's that person, that's a human connection. When you're watching clips, there's nothing human about that. Even though there are human beings in it, it's very brief. It's very concise. That does upset me a bit that the human part of entertainment is going away. That's scary.
Well, yeah, and then you have AI moving in, so then you're really losing humans even on those clips.
Whoops. Yeah, even your clips on social media aren't really human. That's great news. All right, sister, I'm going to go weep.
I know. I'm sorry for Sad Tuesday, everyone.
Sad Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, Krista Bird Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabanco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. What's on the docket for tomorrow, sister?
Oh, hopefully it's going to be Happy Wednesday. That's what it's going to be.
All right, Happy Wednesday. That's Happy Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later.